Hello, welcome, and thanks for checking in today to No Vacancy, the podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Palmer. I'm an Airbnb ambassador and 17-time super host, and I've hosted over 1,000 reservations. I'm a stay-at-home mom of two and manage my 8 listings remotely. My mission is to help new and experienced vacation rental hosts turn their listings into fully booked, profitable properties that can be managed from anywhere, so you too can have no vacancies. If that sounds good to you, let's get right into the show. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of No Vacancy, the podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Palmer, and today I have on Brianna Williams of Mumford Designs. I'm super excited to connect with her. We were going back and forth in our Instagram DMs, and she told me that she is currently a co-host for a midterm rental. You guys know that I do co-hosting, but only for short-term rentals, and it really piqued my interest because as an STR host, I feel like midterms just seem so much easier and more passive than the day-to-day turnover. And I almost have wondered, like, would somebody need a co-host for that? It's so much more passive than short-term rentals. So when she said that that's what she does co-hosting for, I found that fascinating and I wanted to talk to her about it. So Brianna, welcome. Before we dive into midterm rental co-hosting, do you want to give a little intro of yourself and how you stumbled into this entire industry?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I'm excited to be here with you. I started into real estate. I fell into it, I should say. So I've been an interior designer for years and a little over a decade. And I was working with a retail furniture store as an interior designer. And I was running their interior design department. And of course, working retail is just not the most conducive lifestyle to, you know, like family and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And when my third daughter was born, she was born on Labor Day weekend, which like in the world of retail is a blackout holiday. You cannot request time off. So as soon as she was born, I looked at my husband and I'm like, I think I'm going to have to quit my job. It's not going to work. I'm not going to miss her first birthday, right? That's just, and then every birthday thereafter. My second daughter is born on really weird, but Columbus Day, like that weekend is when her birthday always falls. And it was always so hard to get time off for her birthday. And it's like such a, I feel like it's a less popular holiday.
Yeah, it's not a big shopping weekend. I'm like Black Friday, Labor Day, Memorial Day, Christmas, but
exactly.
Really, Columbus Day. Okay.
Yeah. But then I guess also like when you're in the managerial standpoint of retail and things like that, there are fewer and fewer times that you can really take off. And anything that drives sales as a manager, they want you there. And then as a manager of a department that ran almost half of the store's sales, like they needed me there. So I do understand it, but it just came to a point where it was no longer conducive to my lifestyle. It wasn't what I wanted to do for the rest of my life for sure. And my husband's like my number one motivator. Like he's my biggest cheerleader and he has always told me, just do your own thing, just do your own thing. So she was born. He was like, you're going to do your own thing. Now, my daughter was born in September of 2019. So by the time I went back to work in January, like 2 weeks later, is when COVID started really becoming, you know, a buzzword. And I remember like my client or my staff, you know, asking us like, are we going to shut down? Like, no way. We're definitely not shutting down. And then our store was shut down for almost 2 months. That didn't mean that I was necessarily not working because they did still have, they pretty much furloughed like everyone that was not managerial staff. And then the managers, we had to take over everybody's, you know, books, you know, follow up with all of their clients and customers. And so we ended up working 3 times as hard and unfortunately getting paid less than half of what we were being paid. So that made the decision so easy. It's like, okay, well, now I can't even control my future in this aspect. You know, when you're on a job that's commission-based, you can kind of control your future. That's nice. But when they take that away from you, you have no control over your future. And that kind of really solidified entrepreneurialism for me. So it's like, now I have control over my future. I can go in whichever direction I want. And I can kind of make as much as I want. I can work when I want, all of those things. So that's how we fell into just kind of entrepreneurialism. And in the beginning, I was looking for what type of design I really wanted to go into. And where I worked was at in San Bernardino, like at the base of the mountain. So I had plenty of clients who had properties that were in Big Bear, like Arrowhead, even all the way out to like Palm Desert, La Quinta. So I had already dabbled in some of their SDRs. I could only take them so far because I was contracted with this, you know, company. So that's kind of the realm that I thought I might take. So my husband and I are actually going to start our own SDR. And we found this property up in Twin Peaks, and it had 13 cabins and it was several acres. And we had all the dreams for it and started going through the process. And my real estate agent was actually a residential real estate agent, not commercial. So she didn't have any connections to help me in terms of lending and financing. And we hit this wall, and in that time we lost the property. So it's like the one that got away. But because it was a massive property, I did so much research into that property. I just decided like that was where I wanted to be. I loved the idea of SDRs and just hospitality and trying to kind of further somebody's experience. And so I found a local REI club and I plugged in and I started to network. And from there, we just started working with people who had STRs, eventually led into MTRs as those became more popular. And last year, as I finished up the design for one of my MTRs, the owner and I just kind of agreed that it would make sense for me to move forward taking over the business for him because it wasn't something that he wanted to do. And he didn't really have anybody that was experienced in the world of hospitality to run the property. So communicate with guests and things of that nature. And MTR is a little bit different than short-term rentals. Like they each have their own nuances, but it's a whole nother world compared to long-term rentals. And that's what his previous property manager was involved in, was long-term rentals. So he couldn't really bring any experience to the table in terms of midterm rentals. We were hoping to raise his rents quite a bit.
Okay.
So just kind of in going over what his plans for the property were and how the design was going to implement that, it made sense for him to try something new. And in all honesty, it was me trying something new too. You know, you're a big proponent of like, who's going to hire you if you have zero experience? Mm-hmm. And in this particular instance, because I had already been working with this person and advising them on how they are going to run their business, he's like, don't you just want to do it? He's like, I don't want to do it. Do you just want to do it? And I'm like, I mean, sure, let's try it. And I wasn't sure if I was going to like it. I wasn't sure if it was something that was going to work for either one of us. So we put like a 90-day temporary thing on it. So it's like for 90 days, let's try this. After 90 days, either one of us can back out of this. And it worked. I love it. I love the hospitality side of things. It's everything that he does not want to deal with. It's what I deal with. So it's, I love it so much that I'm taking it by the reins, and I just want to help as many people as I can. As many people that don't want to do it themselves, I'm happy to do that for them. And I'm already doing more than half of it when I set up a property. Mm-hmm. I have some serious micromanagement issues.
I agree with that, though. Most of the work in this comes in just setting up the property. And if you do that correctly, the rest, yeah, like guests will stress you out and cleaners, but it's like it's smooth sailing if you've set up the property correctly. That is where most of the work is involved, for sure.
100%. That's so time intensive. And that's where, like I say, I have a little bit of an issue with micromanagement. And it's so hard for me to turn over a property at the end of setting it up. And I'm like, oh yeah. Are they going to hold the towels the same way?
No, you cannot be the cleaner. Like once you set it up, you just have to like leave and put it in the cleaner's hands and put it in God's hands, because that's it. You're way too attached at that point.
Exactly.
So what was the payment structure that you guys settled on when you were just kind of dabbling in this? Was it like he hired you as like a job, or are you doing commission like a traditional co-host?
Commission like a traditional co-host. So he has other properties. And so that was part of it was, okay, if this works out and we both like this and we want to move forward, there are other properties that we're likely going to be taking over. So with that being said, I went ahead and set up all the policies that I needed to have in place, like full on contract for co-hosting specifically. You know, we had the conversations of this is how it needs to be done. This is what you're handling. This is what I'm handling. And just kind of drawing those lines and making them very clear. And then from there, we moved obviously into, okay, how does payment work and things of that nature. And for that type of, for this property specifically, I had already set up the property and those fees were already paid, you know, based off of the fact that I had been designing the property. So there was no setup fee initially, and there's not a significant tech stack for MTR only because there aren't a lot of, you know, companies that really specialize in MTR yet. Mm-hmm. I think it's starting to become a thing. And companies are starting to realize like, okay, there is a need here. It'll slowly start to fill in terms of the tech stack that would be available to us. But right now it's mostly kind of just manual. You have to go in and, you know, in terms of like price setting and things of that nature, you have to go in every so often and check it and things like that. So with that, it's just a straight commission structure. And I've seen with co-hosting for midterm rentals, I've seen anything from like 15% to 20%. So I charge 15%.
Okay.
I think that that's fair for the amount of work that is being done.
If you're anything like me, you got into the short-term rental game looking for passive income. And since then, you've found that managing your listing is anything but passive. Sound familiar? Between messaging guests, managing your calendar, overseeing maintenance, it's a lot to tackle, and Hospitable is here to help. Hospitable saves hosts like you time by taking recurring tasks and guest messaging off your plate. You can automate responses to common questions, schedule messages throughout the booking flow, and even get AI to draft messages for you. You'll also be able to manage your calendar across booking channels from one place and can integrate with third-party tools like smart locks and dynamic pricing. Hospitable is the highest rated software in the industry with a 4.9 out of 5 rating. Hospitable gives you confidence to automate more of your short-term rental management so you can get more of your valuable time back. Try Hospitable for free with a 14-day trial. And if you use this link, you'll get an additional 25% off for 3 full months. Just head to hospitable.com/novacancy. Again, that's hospitable.com/novacancy to claim your offer. Hospitable. Sleep easy, host confidently. Okay, you answered my question before I could ask it. I was going to ask about the commission because I take 25% as a co-host. It's actually closer to 20% because that extra 5% we use to like buy supplies and stuff for the owner. But yeah, with midterms, it is a little bit more passive and stuff. So I wondered about that. So you're doing 15% for that. And then what is kind of like your job description? Like, as a short-term rental co-host, I am fielding every single message and inquiry from guests and restocking things and scheduling the cleaner and checking on their status every single day. You get somebody in there and you've technically got 30 days of quiet time, I would say. I mean, things might pop up, but what are you kind of doing during the times when you do have a guest there? Are you already looking for the next renter? Could you like describe your workflow a little bit for us?
Absolutely. Yes. So I don't necessarily advertise that I market their property. That would be a role that a property manager would facilitate. So that's not necessarily something that I do, but in my everyday job, that's something that I advise people on is where to go to market and who are you looking for. So I'm always in Facebook groups and things like that, seeing if there's people that are looking for homes to rent and things of that nature in our area.
Okay, that's interesting. So for your specific situation, you are not finding the renters.
I do help him a lot in finding the renters. I bring them to him, of course. But okay. As of right now, 100% of our bookings for this last year were made on Airbnb. So there have been inquiries that I fielded from Furnished Finder. And outside of that, we did have somebody who was interested in booking that was an insurance relocation claim. But in fact, they actually booked via Airbnb. So Okay. Everything thus far has been Airbnb. I handle all guest communications from inquiries all the way through the booking process, the welcome process, during their stay, checkouts. I do check in with my guests weekly just to see if there's anything that they need from us.
And this is a virtual check-in or you're showing up at the property to check on things?
Virtual. 100% virtual, yes. The only time that I go to the property, of course, if there's an issue that requires me to be at the property, which strangely enough, we have had some issues.
Okay.
Like all of our appliances in the last 9 months have had one issue or another. Day one, our very first check-in, our bathtub leaked so bad that it caused damage to the condo beneath. We had to completely replace the bathtub and like retrofit a new one in. And it was interesting. So
while you already had a guest in there.
Yes, yes. Talk about a crash course on property management. This was like the first time I had ever booked someone. And this is night one. So that, of course, that required me to be there, you know, but outside of that, it's just me going in to restock the unit. I do inspect the unit after my cleaner leaves, but I am starting to delegate a little bit more. You know, it's like you got to, at some point, especially if we're going to grow and add more properties to our portfolio, like we're going to have to delegate. And so I am delegating to my cleaning staff and stuff like that, a few more tasks. So this last turnover, I did not go for restocking. I sent all of my items to the cleaner. She restocked for me, pictures before, pictures after. There were a couple of hiccups that, you know, required me to still go the following day after the guest checked in, but that was mainly just because we had an issue with one of our appliances. So just things to add, but that's, for me, it's like I go, it's nice because if you're going to go restock a unit, and for me, it's about an hour and a half away from where I live. So it's nice to only have to go there once a month, once every other month. At minimum, we would go in quarterly. So if we had a longer term stay, 6 months or more, 4 months, something like that, we would go in quarterly. That's part of our house rules. So we do have quarterly inspections on the property.
So even if they did book 6 months, you would still insist on going in at the 3 month mark of the reservation.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. So that's how we avoid any unnecessary maintenance issues, like things that just get deferred or postponed. At the very least, we're going to go in and we're going to change out the air filter. So it's kind of an excuse to get into the property and just make sure that they're caring for the property as it should be. If at that time I see that there are deferred maintenance, you know, issues that, you know, we just want to avoid them getting too bad, then I would just have my cleaner go in. And if it's a 6 month clean, I'm probably going to offer a mid-stay clean anyways. I've had 3 month cleans that I offered a mid-stay deep clean and they took up the offer. So
are you charging additional for that or you're throwing that in complimentary?
I threw it in complimentary. It was an extended booking via Airbnb. So when she booked her second booking, she did get charged another cleaning fee.
Okay.
So I would not, if somebody was booking for 3 months, I would just offer the mid-stay clean. It gets my team in there and eyes on the property. My cleaner is going to be taking pictures anyways, and I can just kind of keep an eye on things from the background without making the guest feel like I'm over their shoulder watching their every move.
Sure.
So we do have some lighter, like our carpet is light, you know what I mean? I want to make sure that they're not leaving everything just, you know, all over the place. And our kitchen cabinets are white. You know, you want to make sure that they're keeping them clean and not letting grease sit there for 3 or 4 months. And then you have to just go in and repaint them. And so just little things like that we're trying to avoid.
What was the reason that the owner wanted to do a midterm rental here rather than short term? I know it was originally a long term. So did that just feel like a more comfortable transition or is it a regulation thing?
So he has properties that he owns out of state that are running a short-term rental. So I think that from his perspective, he has long-term rentals and short-term rentals in the same quadruplex. So he has a property that has 4 units in it. Two of them run as short-term rentals and 2 of them are running as long-term rentals. So he could see the difference in what he was making LTR versus STR. So he did have this property. It is very close to Disneyland. He didn't have the option to short-term rent it. So that's where he fell into midterm rental.
Okay.
So he had been running it as a long-term rental and, you know, he had like 9 months out of the year it was booked. And then there was a couple of months where he didn't have a booking. So he was already kind of in that midterm rental space. So he just decided to shift it over. And more, his biggest concern was, what do I need to put in this place? You know, he did furnish it and had a couple of months of it being booked as furnished. So I guess you could consider that midterm rental, but it wasn't. It was furnished with leftover furniture from when he moved out of the property. It definitely didn't have like all matching dishes. It was not. And so he was like, okay, if I elevate this, I know I can make more. How much more can we make? So I think that was ultimately where he decided to really run it as an actual midterm rental.
Okay, got it. And then I know you said that all of your bookings thus far have come from Airbnb. One of them was an insurance claim, but they still booked through Airbnb. Do you know kind of the demographics of the other people who have booked so far, why they were coming for a 30-day minimum?
Yes. So when we started the property, it's so close to so many hospitals that do actively hire travel nurses. So we looked into that prior too, and that was our anticipated demographic. Our anticipated guest avatar was going to be the travel nurse. What I have found is in that particular area, I don't know if it's necessarily that the hospitals don't pay as high as some of the outlying areas in Orange County, but the travel nurses that were seeking just booking inquiries via Furnished Finder, et cetera, for the most part, they wanted to be like $3,000 and under and were $4,500. So okay. It seemed like that demographic we kind of bumped ourselves out of because of the price. But we haven't had an issue with vacancies or anything like that. Like our occupancy has been full since we launched, with the exception of 2 weeks in August. So we've seen everything from families traveling for vacation. We had the insurance relocation claim. I did have one travel nurse and she stayed with me for 3 months. And then we've had a patient who was undergoing cancer treatment at a nearby facility. We've had a relocating family. So a family that was relocating from the LA area over into Orange County. And they will likely be the ones that stay with us for the next like 6 months.
Okay, got it. And then can I ask too, how you're filling your, you said that except for a 2 week opening in August, you've been 100% booked. Are you like very strict that they fill like the first of the month through the 30th of the month, and then the next person comes on the first? Or like, does that make sense what I'm asking? Like, how are you stacking the reservations like so neatly to minimize those vacancies?
They know, because I actually had so our first guest did stay, like, I think they checked in on the 27th of a month. And it just happened to be like when we launched like mid month. And so they checked in on the 27th, and it was actually a booking that was made the day before check-in. So it was a very fast booking and it was just 30 days. So when they checked out, I want to say it was like the 28th or something along those lines. And the next booking that came in was my extended booking, who happened to check out like on like mid month. It was like the 17th or something along those lines. So that kind of did throw things off a little bit. But from there, it was like a next day check-in. So what I have found is same day check-ins don't work for us quite as well, because we are doing deep cleans. Like I require my cleaner to clean the baseboards. I want the insides of the cabinets wiped out, the inside of the refrigerator, the inside of the stove needs to be deep cleaned. I need it to be as fresh and brand new as possible, because somebody was living there before and somebody else is moving to live into the property now. And that just can't be done in 3 hours.
You're answering every question before I can even ask it. That was going to be the next thing I asked you was, are you doing like same day back-to-back turns? Because short-term rentals, like I have to, if I only host 2 day reservations, you know, if I'm blocking off a full 24 hours between bookings, that's a third of my month gone just for cleaning. And so we have to make sure that back-to-backs are possible. But with midterms, I agree with you completely. Like you have to treat every single clean like a deep clean. So you're setting off a 24-hour buffer between every reservation.
Yes, exactly. So they check out at 10 a.m. and my next guest checks in at 6 p.m. the following day. So that gives us more than 24 hours to turn over the property. I get out there and I, like I said, I inspect after my cleaner leaves and I make sure like, oh, looks like she forgot to sweep the cobwebs on the front steps. So let me make sure that that gets done. I mean, everything is touched. No cup is you know, left unturned, no spoon. I mean, I have to check everything. I'm just a little bit particular that way. So
I think for when I do that, you have to be right. And that's the trade-off. You don't have 15 cleans a month. You only have one, sometimes less if they're staying longer. But I would think the expectation is like you said, every single cup is wiped down and like cobwebs off the porch for sure.
Yes, 100%. And then you want to check your light bulbs and make sure those are clean. And in many cases, we are making sure that the air filters are changed and things of that nature. Little things might happen, like a vertical blind was broken. Okay, so we'll replace that. Sometimes those are things my cleaner will catch. Sometimes she doesn't, because she's worried about stripping two beds, making sure that the extra linens are also clean and fresh. Even if they look like they were clean in the closet, like I still want her to pull those out and re-clean them again. She checks my towels for any kinds of stains. If they're stained, she lets me know how many are so that I could go replace them quickly. And then obviously I have to go in, and because these are people that are living here for at minimum a month, we do supply a full welcome kit of household essentials. So cleaning products, I want them to clean the house. I don't want them to not clean the house for 30 days. So full-size cleaning products are included. Shampoo, body wash, conditioner, full sizes are included. We make sure all of the soaps are refilled, hand soap, dish soap.
This was literally going to be my next question for you is how many supplies do you provide? I know for short-term rentals, I like have, you know, a formula for like they get like four toilet paper rolls, like one paper towel roll, a few dish pods and stuff, a few trash bags. But what are you providing for a month-long stay?
Yes. So the items that I mentioned, and then in terms of paper goods, I just do small packs, but I give them the full pack. So I have cubbies in my cleaning closets. And in most properties that I set up, I do this if there's an option or a space to put just a little four space cubby in the cleaning closet. Then that allows us to nicely organize where the leftover toilet paper is, or extra toilet paper, extra paper towels. And if you're just buying the small package of like six paper towels, six toilet papers or whatever I can find, really whatever's in stock at Target, right? It's just what I can get my hands on quickly. Unless, of course, I am sending it over to my cleaner like I did last time. In that case, I Instacarted it. So it still ultimately was whatever was in stock at Target. But it's just small packages, but enough to get them through at least their first week. And realistically, the soaps are going to last them longer than that. I do buy like the dishwasher detergent. I buy the small package. I want to say it's like 16 or 18, I think, in the package. So that's going to give them half a month's worth of, you know, cleaning their dishes. So new sponges, always make sure there's at least two extra sponges, and then anything that's been used is chucked. And then just kind of going through the property, you'd be surprised how much people leave behind. So it's a lot of it is also just taking away the things that they leave behind. Like I've had pillows, a whole bottle of mezcal was left on the counter. It was like almost brand new, just different things like that. Like I'm not going to leave Yogurtland spoons in the drawer. We're going to take away all of those reusable spoons and things of that nature. Sometimes they come with like, I've had like wine corkscrews, like wine openers, things like that when I already supply them anyway. So if it's a duplicated item, then I just pull it. So sometimes it's taking out as much as it is putting in. But yeah, as far as what we stock, it's, I call it welcome household essentials. So it's literally whatever is the essential for you to really live in a house. So walk through that space, open your cabinet underneath, imagine yourself cooking. Okay, so olive oil is a pretty essential thing. Salt and pepper, those are pretty essential. We do offer spices, so I just make sure that my jars are full. Sugar, coffee filters, coffee creamer, those are like all essential things that most people are going to use, and I just want it to be there when they check in.
One thing I am absolutely craving for 2024 is simplicity, but we all know that the setup process for a new short-term rental is anything but simple. That is why I'm so excited to tell you about HostGPO. By shopping with HostGPO, you can save up to 75% on furniture, decor, linens, amenities, and supplies. And they only work with a few select brands that are tried and tested to stand up to the wear and tear of guests. With HostGPO, there is no overwhelm of comparing hundreds of brands, variations, and product reviews. You just shop for what you need and rest assured that you are getting the best quality at the best price. Over 300,000 properties are already purchasing through HostGPO, and as the pool of customers grows, so do the discounts that HostGPO can negotiate for us hosts. By signing up through my link in the show notes below, you'll get an exclusive 3 months of free access to start shopping on HostGPO today. Thank you so much to HostGPO for sponsoring the show and for making it so simple to set up and restock our STRs.
Now, if they want to restock, I'm certainly not going to provide 6 months worth. Yeah. So they can restock as needed. And then they're going to restock with the brands and things like that they prefer using.
So you're mainly doing, it seems like it's about 2 weeks worth of stuff. Like you said, soap and conditioner, that tends to last longer. You'll fill those to the top, but mostly about 2 weeks of supplies. And that's the same whether they book 30 days, 60 days, 90 days,
whatever. Exactly. Okay. Yes. Okay, yes. And then, like I said, that wording that we put in our listing is just welcome household essentials kit. So it's a welcome kit.
I like that wording. I like that you put welcome in there because it's a friendly way of just saying like, it's enough to welcome you and not anymore.
I mean, I do understand because they're going to be there for an extended period of time. Like I am going to give them more than one roll of toilet paper.
Sure.
You know, but I mean, I stayed at a house with three other girls for a short-term rental just for a weekend. And, you know, we had to replace toilet papers. So, you know, it's like one roll of toilet paper in each bathroom probably wouldn't have been enough. And honestly, we were going for a weekend. We never would have thought to just bring toilet paper. It just wasn't something that would have crossed our minds. So especially midterm rental when they're staying longer, I can only imagine, like, I would personally be disappointed if there wasn't a backup and then I run out and there's nothing to use. So I just like them to see, and they know exactly where they're going to find everything. So they're going to go in and they're going to have a few backups, and then they're going to know when it's running low and they can replace.
One thing I want to go back on is when we talked about how you're filling the calendar. I know for us, I typically do a 2-day minimum, but if I ever have it where my bookings line up to, it's like a checkout on a Wednesday and then my next guest doesn't come till Thursday, I will open that Wednesday night, you know, and change it to a one night minimum there. You guys don't have that luxury. Like, you don't have the permits to operate as a short-term rental. And so in your case, it would just stress me out so much if you got like a booking and then the next person was going to check in 21 days later. You can't just open it for a 21-day reservation. So would you just decline that guest? I'm assuming you do not have instant book on. Have you ever had it where you've like had to enforce with a guest and be like, if you want to book this, you need to check in on the 10th or whatever that day is?
100% instant book is turned off because they're staying for a longer period of time. I have to vet these people. I have to know exactly who's coming into the property. And while if they're booking via Airbnb, I do not require application. I do have a list of questions that I want to ask them. What is the reason for your visit? Who's staying? I see that you put 3 adults. Can you please advise of the additional adults that are on your booking inquiry? And can you please advise of their age? So that I kind of get to know a little bit about them. I also use that information for my welcome basket. So if it's a family with kids, you know, we might put like my kids and I, we love to do pancake breakfast on the weekend. So we might put in like a package of pancake mix and a nice bottle of syrup and things like that. Or if it's a couple that's coming in and I know they're flying in, they're going to be on a long flight. They're probably not going to have time to go get food. They're coming in late. You know, these are types of things that I learn from them by asking some of the questions ahead of time, and I can provide for them accordingly. And that just sets a really nice welcome for them. But in terms of booking, that is one area where I do need to work closely with my owner. Okay. Because I don't want to leave any, you know, gaps in that for him where he's not making money. However, if you have somebody who's requesting a 5-6 month booking and you say, but when they check in, that's going to leave us a 2-week gap and I can't book that, then he can make that decision if that's something that he's willing to take, or if he wants to say no to that guest and we'll just try to find something else. Or another option could be offering that guest to check in sooner and discounting some of that time. Or if they're not interested in coming in any sooner, maybe the current guest that's staying can stay later. We did have that plan in November. I had a guest that stayed with us from August through, they were going to be staying for 1 month. So it was August to October. And it did leave us, I had a booking for December. I might be getting my dates wrong. Might've been like September to November or something. But nonetheless, it was leaving us like a 30-day booking. Could we have booked it with somebody else? Yes, but that is not likely. It's not as likely, I should say, that somebody's going to just be looking for 30 days and it's so perfect. So,
and it's the exact 30 days that you need to fill.
Exactly. So as we got closer, I'm communicating with my owner and I let him know, here's the options. Okay, look, now we're like 2 weeks away. Nobody has booked that 30 days. So you could potentially be sitting for 30 days, or I can offer this current guest. They've been great. They've loved staying here. Day two, she even mentioned potentially extending her booking. So I said, we can offer them at a discounted rate, the additional 30 days, just so that we have occupancy. And that was our plan. And what do you know, the very next morning she messaged me and was like, we want to extend our booking and stay all the way up until your next booking. And we didn't have to discount it at all. She just loved her time so much. We've had 3 guests out of 6 that have extended their bookings and have filled those gaps for us.
Really? So this is super common, I guess, because with short-term rentals, I do have some people the day of, they're like, hey, we actually decided we want to stay one more day. But if people are doing a quick trip, like they have to get back to work and everything, it doesn't happen that often. But 3 of your 6 midterm guests so far have wanted to extend.
Yes. So a lot of times people are coming to this area for a specific purpose, whether it's because they work here, whether they're planning to relocate. We did have our insurance relocation. She was only booked for 30 days, but her bathroom remodel was actually delayed. So she requested to stay extra. We were able to take her for a few days, but we already had another booking, so I couldn't actually extend her the full desired time that she wanted to stay. But my travel nurse extended her job. So she was working at one of the Kaiser hospitals in the area, and her job got extended. So she signed another contract with them. So she ended up extending her stay with us. Now that can work both ways. I did have one guest who was in town for vacation purposes. So his family was coming from out of the country to visit him, and they were staying for 6 weeks. Well, halfway through their stay, his parents decided they've never been to New York City and they wanted to go visit New York City. So they bought tickets to spend their last 2 weeks in New York. And he messaged me and said, can we cancel the last 2 weeks of our stay? Because they already bought their tickets. Well, what was I going to say? They already bought their tickets. They've never seen New York City. They were great guests. And he did tell me 30 days in advance. So okay. He gave me plenty of notice. That was, however, the 2 weeks that we ended up not being booked in August.
Ooh.
So, and with that, that's just going to my owner and saying, here's your options. Now, this was, I think, our third booking that we had after launching, and we were really trying to drive reviews. That was what we were focused on in that first 90 days, was like driving reviews so that we could get, you know, just a better position within the algorithm and, you know, hopefully hit that super host status, because that can also help you with the algorithm. Yeah. And that's all it was. Is we need visibility for this property. And once we have that, then we can kind of tick up the monthly rate just a little bit.
I have said so many times on this podcast that finding a good, reliable cleaner is the single most important thing you can do to ensure a successful STR business. And if anyone has ever dealt with a bad cleaner, you know I'm right about this. Turno is here to solve that problem for us hosts once and for all. With Turno's Cleaner Marketplace, you can find your dream cleaner and have access to a whole network of backup cleaners in case of emergency. Once you find your trusted cleaner, use the Turno app to manage and automate the entire cleaning process, from auto scheduling that gets synced directly to your booking calendar, auto payments, photo checklists, problem reporting, and inventory management. Right now, Turno is offering No Vacancy listeners a $150 Amazon gift card just for trying out Turno's Cleaner Marketplace and completing one clean with them. Just use the link turno.com/novacancy to unlock that offer and stop settling for cleaning quality that you're unhappy with. Again, that is turno.com/novacancy to find your dream cleaner and snag that bonus $150 Amazon gift card. I really just like admire your like philosophy so much, because this is stuff where I think a lot of hosts are like, that's it. This is our policy. Like, they can't cancel, you know, they already agreed to it. But you're right. Like, there is at the beginning, you are so much more susceptible to a bad review. Once you've had 100 reviews, a 3 or 4 star isn't going to do anything to your overall rating. But when it's your first 3, like, you do have to, I think, sometimes bend the rules a little bit and just like be more flexible. And yeah, I think you made the right call there. Even if it resulted in a 2-week opening, like, you just have to kind of play the game sometimes at the beginning.
Right. And as a co-host, that's not my decision to make. That's my owner's decision to make, because at the end of the day, that's his bottom line. But one of the things that we talked about before launching the listing was how we were planning to focus our efforts in those first 90 days. And a big part of that was, let's drive bookings via Airbnb so that we have those reviews to back us up. Because even if people are booking off the platform, they're still referring to Airbnb for the reviews. They still want to see what people's input is on the property and who's hosting them. So that is ultimate. And I mean, just in what I do all the time, like, guest experience, client experience, just the end user's experience is put absolute first. So everything that we do, we think in terms of, how is this going to affect the guest? And at the end of the day, they had already paid for tickets to go to New York City. What am I going to do? Tell them no? Yes, I could. But at the end of the day, you know,
this is the option that I gave him.
We can enforce this, and we can say, no, I'm sorry. You know, you can't cancel your reservation. You'll have to continue to pay for the 2 weeks that you're not staying. However, we could potentially get a negative review. They could get a little irritated. So option B is, we just go ahead and let them. We had some maintenance things that we are going to do anyway at turnover. Now it gives us a little bit more time to get that done. So that was the route that he chose to take. And I think it was the best option.
And I think too, like with a short-term rental or a midterm, if they had left a negative review in that case, you probably could have gotten it removed, honestly, as a retaliatory review, because they booked, they're not entitled to any compensation. So you probably could have gotten it removed. But with a midterm, it would be another, 60 days before you had another review there. And it's like, you do have to weigh that. I think with a short-term rental, you could bounce back within 5 reservations. If they're 2 nights each, that's within 2 weeks, you're going to bounce back and recover from that review. But you don't have that same luxury of time on your hands. Like you do those first few, it probably took you, 3 to 6 months to even get your first 3 reviews.
Yes. Yeah. This was month 4, 4 and a half, I should say, when that guest checked out. They were our third guest. So we only had 2 reviews prior. And because our first guest was undergoing such a difficult experience, that was our guest that was going through cancer treatments. So when they left, it was rocky, unfortunately, for them. So, you know, I'm not going to press them for a review. It took them, she barely got, actually, as a matter of fact, they did not leave us a review, because by the time she was able to, the daughter that had booked, by the time she was able to tend to it, she's like, I'll write you the nicest message and you could do whatever you want with my message. But, you know, she's like, I'd love to leave a review. Can I? And I'm like, unfortunately, no. Like our Airbnb gives you 2 weeks. And we're like a month after her checkout. So as a matter of fact, that first booking, which would have been a 5-star review, we didn't even get a review on. So his booking was our second possible review. We had one good review. So it's like, we really need this good review, but it's totally up to you, like Mr. Owner, you can make the decision. If not, you know what? I'm going to just bust my butt to get the next good review and it'll be fine and we'll figure it out. But my recommendation would be to just let them cancel and, you know, we'll fill the time with what we need to do as far as the maintenance things that we needed to do. And then just kind of play with our pricing a little bit for the rest of the year to kind of try to make up for some of that vacancy. And that's the side of things that we have to be more careful for when it's midterm rentals, because we don't have the option of doing like, oh my gosh, it's 4th of July weekend. Yes, let's jack up the rates. Mm-hmm. We don't have that option because it's a whole month. Now we can increase our monthly rates spring to summer because of our location. We're really not that far from the beach. We're very, very close to Disneyland. So I can see during the summer, families wanting to come in and book the property and things like that. And even actually during the fall and holidays, our family that stayed, they specifically selected our property because we were so close to Disneyland and they were Disneyland pass holders. So when they were looking for relocating, you know, a place to stay while they were relocating, they're like, this is kind of the perfect space for us because we want to be close to Disneyland. So that kind of worked out in our favor. If I would have thought about it ahead of time, I do think that October to December, we could have raised the rates just a little bit, because that is an attraction. Holidays at Disneyland, it's changing
the park
so
does
much.
So much.
That, I mean, I do think now realizing that that was an attraction for them, I think they would have been willing to spend a little bit more. And I'm not talking about a significant increase, but when you are looking at daily rates, as you put it, or nightly rate in Airbnb, if you just go up $5, $10 a night, that will add up to a couple hundred by the end of the month. So
for 30-day rentals. Yeah, I completely agree with everything you're saying. And that's so interesting because we talk so much in short-term rentals about how important it is to niche down and talk to your avatar. And one lesson I'm like really taking away from hearing your story is at the beginning, you decided to price yourself at about $4,500 a month, which you said priced you out of kind of the travel nurse demographic, which really was willing to pay about $3,000. And I think so many hosts in that case would have dropped down to the $3,000 to meet that demand if they thought that was going to be their clientele. But you guys kept it up. And now you're finding that you're actually getting families instead who clearly have disposable income. They're ready to buy annual passes for the whole family at the park. And you probably could have even gone higher now for October, November, December, and maybe some summer months. So I think that's a really interesting lesson, is that even in the midterm space, there's still opportunity to niche down and talk to your avatar and price for them.
Yes. And just be willing to pivot. And that should be true versus, you know, with STR or MTR, be willing to pivot. Now, we did set up this property with a specific guest avatar in mind. But when we did the research, we identified 3 to 4 different avatar types. We picked one, we designed it for that avatar. However, that started to change as we started to run the business. We started to see that there are other avatars that would still be attracted to the property as it is designed. And there are a few things that we can change. So if families are being attracted to the property because of the park, we can maybe incorporate more family-friendly amenities. We did not have family-friendly amenities from the beginning. This was our first booking 10 months, 9 months in that did have children. So now we're starting to see a new pattern develop. So as that moves forward, that, you know, it starts a new conversation. As this pattern is developing, is this the shift that we want to make? The neighborhood has tons of young children. It's a great spot for that avatar. So maybe that's a shift that we'll make in 2024. And then we can optimize our listing for that particular type of guest avatar and then try to kind of increase our inquiries for, from that specific guest avatar, but always be willing to pivot because it may not work how you originally planned. And that's totally okay. You know, just be willing to change things a little bit. Don't give up before you've already made your changes.
Yeah. And in your case, those pivots turned out even better, I think, or you'd be stuck just with solo travel nurses, you know, 30 days at a time at around $3,000 a month. And you're clearly exceeding that. So I think that's awesome. Rihanna, thank you so much. I really, really enjoy this conversation. I love guests who just like break down step by step everything they're doing and studying and learning. And I think you really were transparent on every point. So thank you so much for sharing everything. And where can people go connect with you or check you out? I know you've got your design business, or if they want to hire you as their midterm co-host, where can people go?
Absolutely. First and foremost, thank you so much for having me. And it's been really fun. And I'm hoping that your listeners are able to get something out of it. If you want to reach out to me or get in touch with me, you can find me at Instagram. My handle is @Mumford_designs. And Facebook, same thing, Mumford. It's just facebook.com/Mumford Designs.
Perfect. And we'll link that below as well so you guys can go reach out to Brianna there. Thank you again, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
And finally, for this week's Am I the Airbnb Hole, we've got a host who posted on a Facebook group saying, guest stayed the entire time, doesn't say a word to me, cancels on the last night, and then asks for a full refund. I declined. He then sends this threatening message, should I be worried? And here is the message. She attached a screenshot of what the guest sent. Here it is. So you can see guest checks in, then you see reservation canceled by guest on the last night. Okay. Then there's an automated Airbnb message that says reminder, leave a review. And then the next day, the guest sends this message. Be safe out there. I've contacted some connections through friends out there that want to see your property. Winky face. That is so menacing. Like, that is so disturbing, you guys. What? Be safe out there. I've contacted some connections through friends out there that want to see your property. Winky face. Ew. Ew. I am disturbed. I would be so, so freaked out if I was this host. Immediately call Airbnb and report them. There's no other prior communication. It literally just says guest canceled the reservation, asked for reimbursement, that was declined. There's no other communication. Like the host says, they didn't say a word the entire time, cancel on the last night, get declined the reimbursement. And then the next day, this message comes through. So menacing. I do not like it at all. Call Airbnb and report the profile immediately. I don't know what else to do beyond that. Like, can you call the cops about this? There hasn't been like a crime committed. I feel like this is just a classic case of like all bark and no bite. Is this person really going to do anything? I don't think so. Change the code immediately. You should be doing that regardless after every single guest. If this guest happened to get a physical key, you need to change the locks right away. I don't know. Just keep watching your Ring camera. Like, this is... I don't think that this kind of guest is actually going to do anything. I really think that this is just an intimidation tactic, but it's so creepy. The winky face at the end gives me the heebie-jeebies, makes my skin crawl. This guest is the Airbnb hole, okay? You do not get to request a cancellation on the last day after not saying anything, no communication with the host, and then a day later, say, be safe out there. I've contacted some connections through friends out there that want to see your property. Winky face. Ew. Ew, ew, ew. No. Hate it. You are the Airbnb hole, sir. Go away. I really hope that this host leaves an honest review of this guest. More than that, I hope that they call Airbnb and that this account gets removed. Like, it is so not okay to send messages like that. But at the very least, leave them a review just saying that they threatened, explain the situation, and I really hope no host has to deal with them in the future.
And with that, it is now checkout time. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you back here next week. Lastly, as Airbnb hosts, we all can appreciate a good 5-star review. So you already know a great review on this podcast would mean so much to me. Please subscribe, review, share, and connect with me in the show notes below. Bye!